Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, October 5th, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll talk with Jordan Nigro and Alan Truitt about activities at the Zach Gordon Youth Center in the BAM After School Program. We'll get a preview of Tuesday's KRNN Spotlight Series concert featuring dynamic duos. Laura Damron will be here to highlight upcoming bereavement support group meetings. We'll hear from Ames Alf from Gonzo AK about their Get Out the Vote incentives. And Crystal Borland from NAMI will be here with details about Saturday's second annual Extra Tough 5K event. Those interviews, National Native News Writers Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno afternoon, currently 54 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Students at the University of Alaska Southeast will celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day on October 12th, elsewhere recognized as Columbus Day. As KTOO's Lisa Fu reports, the student government recently passed a resolution to do this on the second Monday in October.
David Russell Jensen is a third-year student at University of Alaska Southeast. He's a member of the student government and co-sponsored the resolution. Growing up in Juneau, he says Columbus Day has never been a big deal, but he knows it's still recognized in other parts of the country.
They do like Columbus Day sales, I guess. I don't know, that's kind of weird, but does that just mean like you walk into a store and just steal whatever you want? I mean...
For Russell Jensen, Christopher Columbus represents colonization and the genocide of Indigenous people, not the discovery of America. He got the idea to bring the resolution forward from Seattle. Its city council unanimously voted to rename Columbus Day as Indigenous Peoples Day last year. Minneapolis did it beforehand. Berkeley, California has been recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day since the 1990s. The state of Alaska and the university system do not recognize Columbus Day as an official holiday. But Russell Jensen says we're all a product of colonization.
We're all results of genocide and language loss. I mean, I'm speaking English, you know, that's kind of weird. You know, I mean, 100 years ago, I'd probably be speaking three different languages if I lived here.
He hopes the resolution continues the dialogue UAS is already having. Russell Jensen is a Tlingit language student and says the college is playing an important role in revitalizing Alaska Native languages. But Russell Jensen thinks UAS can still do better. He wants to see more Alaska Native teachers. The university's chancellor says that's something the college is focusing on through a new diversity action committee. For National Native News, I'm Lisa Fu in Juneau.
Chickasaw Nation Governor Bill Anitubby says the tribe's assets increased by more than $200 million this fiscal year. As KGOU's Brian Hardzinski reports, the tribal leader delivered the annual State of the Nation address over the weekend in Oklahoma.
Anitubby highlighted new health care facilities, programs, and services for Chickasaw citizens.
We've had more than 800,000 patient visits to the health system in the last year. Nearly 1.2 million prescriptions were filled.
He also outlined the tribe's Adventure Road partnerships with local businesses to increase tourism along Interstate 35 through Oklahoma.
Attracting travelers to businesses along this route will bring jobs and tourism dollars to these businesses and communities.
Anitubby also offered details on a new convention center at the Windstar Casino just north of the Texas border. He said other tribal priorities include improving education and housing. Anitubby took the oath of office Thursday to start his eighth consecutive term. For National Native News, I'm Brian Hardzinski in Norman, Oklahoma.
The U.S. Supreme Court rejects an appeal to move the remains of Jim Thorpe from Pennsylvania to Oklahoma. His family and tribes have long fought for the legendary athlete's body to be returned home. According to the Associated Press, today's ruling orders Thorpe to remain in the Pennsylvania town which bears his name. Services were held over the weekend for Native American advocate Jess Sixkiller. The 78-year-old was fatally killed during a home invasion in Phoenix, Arizona on September 25th. According to his family, Sixkiller, a Cherokee Nation citizen, was the first American Indian detective with the Chicago Police Department and was a longtime advocate for urban Indian rights. Police are offering a cash reward for those found responsible for his death. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
We'll be right back. National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Supported by the National Indian Education Association, an inclusive Native organization representing Native students, educators, families, communities, and tribes. Membership registration available at niea.org.
Dalan gol jimoho kholuguyut bizikia kat kuspok fim kwif fim shua watigini jaleng nakorat khatakainagun.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Monday, October 5th, 2015. It's a beautiful afternoon here in Juneau. Doesn't get much better. Currently 54 degrees at the airport, 54 over in Hoonah. Joining me now here in K2 Studios is the Youth Development and Service Manager for Parks and Rec, Jordan Nigro. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Hi, Scott.
And also Alan Truitt. He is the BAM coordinator, or Body and Mind After School Program. Welcome to the show, Truitt.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you both here today. So, Jordan, should we start with you? Talk a little bit about Zach Gordon and then
sure.
Get into BAM?
Sure. So, we are, Zach Gordon Youth Center is now part of our family of services. One of the things we are now coordinating is the BAM After School Program, which stands for Body and Mind, as you said. And we have, so we have lots going on. We have our normal Zach Gordon fun stuff happening all the time at the center. And I would really encourage any of you who, if you haven't been down in years or you have kids who you think might like to come, have them come by. Our hours are Monday through Thursday. We are open 11 to 9. And for kids, that's after school hours. We don't want kids skipping school to come hang out at the youth center. But, you know, if you have a alternative schedule, we will work with that with school too. But, and then Fridays and Saturdays, we're open till 10 o'clock at night. So it's a great place to come and hang out. We have a climbing wall. It's free. We have climbing team Tuesdays and Thursdays after school, and kids can come and learn to climb. And Wednesdays, we have art days, and we're having scary movies in October on Saturday nights for the teenagers. So, you know, we just got lots of stuff going on all the time. And BAM is our after-school program, which is in both of the middle schools in Zantakahini and Floyd Dryden. And Truitt is our coordinator for that. And I'll let you tell him a bit about BAM.
Yeah, please do. Tell us how it came to be.
Sure. Came to be as the Juneau After School Coalition was looking at the after school activities for students in Juneau. They looked and saw a weakness in that the middle school students didn't have a lot of opportunities after school. So they've developed this program, the BAM Body and Mind After School Activities, which we work with. It's a community-based program, and we work with volunteers from the community to bring in after school activities. Volunteers can come and share kind of whatever activity they have that's appropriate for middle school students.
Can you give us a few examples of what's been working well?
Sure. The kids love when we do cooking classes are great. We'll do some sports things, like we have archery group coming up later this spring. The dance theater, I think, is Juneau Dance Theater is going to do a dance activity with us this spring. We've also done things like guitar circle, or we've had judo in the past. We also need volunteers sometimes to lead some simpler activities. You know, kids love games like Magic the Gathering. Someone just to lead an activity like that would be great. But if people have any interests that they want to share, any hobbies, we're glad to bring that in. Crafts, all that kind of thing. Our students really love that kind of thing.
All right, and so this happens at both middle schools, after school. What's the time range for these usually?
So these, all our activities start at about 3:05 p.m. and go to about 4:20. That way that the students can participate in our activities and catch the activity bus to go home after school.
That's great. If somebody had something that they wanted to do with the students, how can they get in contact with you?
Great. They're welcome to give me a call. I'd be excited to receive that. My number is 796 5811. You can also just call me at Zantakahini, and they can connect you through to me. But it's Alan Truitt, and I'm at 796-5811.
Okay. How long has this been going on, would you say?
This is our
fourth year. And this is the first year that the city has run it through Parks and Rec. So so it's a little different this year than it was in the past. But the group of volunteers that really got it up and off the ground, Betsy Brenneman was running it for the last 3 years, and we're very thankful to her for all her efforts. And we're having really a lot of fun. We think it's a great fit with Zach Gordon. We have a lot of kids who overlap, and we can encourage them to participate in BAM. And so it's pretty fun.
Truett, not to put you on the spot, but if you could think of like three perfect activities that your program needs right now, what would they be?
Anything with cooking. They always love that. Any sort of theme or activity that somebody might want to do along those cooking activities. Some sort of like sporty activities that maybe the school sports don't offer.
Like archery, you said before.
Like archery, some of those kind of alternative things. That aren't normally school sports. Also, particularly kids love computer stuff too. They love that. Trying to nail down someone to do maybe some Minecraft activity or something like that would be awesome.
Okay. Cooking, alternative sports, Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
All right. If there's anyone listening right now, give Truett a call at 796-5811. It sounds, 305 to 420 is all the time. I mean, probably a little prep before that and stuff, but it's not a huge commitment.
Yeah, most of our activities last from 4 to 10 sessions long, and we can work with all kinds of different schedules. They got to be Monday through Friday in that time slot, but it can be once or twice a week for a while, or if you want to do 4 sessions in a week and get it all done one shot, whatever. We're glad to work with that and try to bring different new activities to our students.
All right, volunteers, give Truett a call at 796-5811 to sign up. Well, sounds like some exciting stuff, you two, at the Zach Gordon Youth Center and with BAM. What are we missing?
Well, I guess the only thing I would say is, if you know kids that maybe would be interested in participating in BAM, spread the word that this after-school activity happens. The reason that that this takes place is because we know if kids are participating in after-school activities, they're better off in numerous ways. So they're healthy, fun things for kids to do after school, and it's a great community bang for your buck. So they're free activities for kids to take part in. If you know kids that you think would enjoy it, let them know. We're constantly telling everybody about it in the schools. When we have sign-ups, we have quite a great turnout of kids who are interested. So the more people we have coming in to teach classes, the better. The sort of the tough part and the great part about this program is it is really a community-driven program. So the more partnerships we have to make it happen, the better. And also, it's sometimes hard to get people in there to volunteer. So, it's both sides of the coin there. But I think, it's really an opportunity and a gift that we have. So if there's something you would like to teach, please let us know. We'd love to have you. Any of you, stop by Zach Gordon if you want to talk to me about it. If you're unsure, you can also call Truett, as you said. So, yeah.
Sounds good, Truett. Anything to add?
Sure. We got a couple activities coming up this month. Maybe just touch on those real quick. At Zantakahini, we have a cooking from scratch class with Sherry Williams that starts this week. Later this month, we'll have a Flavors of Fall class that actually I'll teach, and I will probably get pumpkin spice poisoning. And we also got a hip-hop class coming up at Zantakahini as well with John Michael from the Five Elements. And at Floyd Dryden, John Michael's also doing the hip-hop class there. Sign-ups for that start next week. And sign-ups are tomorrow at Floyd Dryden for the cooking chemistry class we have coming up where they Courtney Weiss is an AmeriCorps volunteer. She did it last year with the BAM program, and they mix that chemistry and cooking and how that all happens. It's a really neat opportunity, and that starts tomorrow, the sign-ups for that.
All right, parents, let your kids know if they're in middle school. Volunteers out there, give Truett a call at 796-5811 to sign up to teach these kids something cool or spend time with them doing something you love. Jordan Nigro, Alan Truett, thank you both for coming on the show today. I'll
thank
see you,
you
later.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 5th of October, 2015. It's the birthday of Clive Barker, born Liverpool, England, 1952, author of macabre stories, also poetry, essays, plays, children's literature, painter, filmmaker as well. Grew up in a working-class home. His parents scrimped and saved to pay for a good education. But when he was accepted into London's Royal College of Art, they asked him not to go. They said, please, this is the last thing we'll ever ask of you. We've supported you going to these schools, and it's been expensive. Please don't disappoint us now by wasting it all by becoming a painter. It's the birthday of Edward P. Jones, 1951, Washington, D.C. He was brought up by his mother, who was a dishwasher, completely illiterate. The boy was a bookish kid, studied creative writing in graduate school at the University of Virginia, then became a proofreader for a tax publication called Tax Notes. And in 1991, published his first book, a collection of short stories, Lost in the City. Got an idea for a novel long after that, started thinking about it, working it out in his head for 10 years. The Known World was the title of it, and it won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction in 2003. The first televised presidential address on this date, 1947, President Harry Truman speaking from the White House on the subject of food conservation. Europe faced a winter famine, and so the president called on the American public to do their part by observing meatless Tuesdays, going without poultry and eggs on Thursdays, eating less bread. And it was on this date, 1877, Chief Joseph surrendered to the United States cavalry. He and his band of Nez Perce Indians had been fleeing through Oregon, Washington, Idaho, into Montana, where they were finally trapped only 40 miles from the Canadian border. And Chief Joseph made his famous surrender address, in which he said, "Hear me, my chiefs, I am tired, my heart is sick and sad. From where the sun now stands, I will fight no more forever." Here's a poem for today by Robert Morgan entitled Squatting. The men in rural places, when they stop to talk and visit, will not stand, for that would make it seem they're in a rush, nor will they sit on ground that might be cold or wet. Instead, they squat with dignity on heels close to the ground and chat for hours. And while they tell and answer or listen, hunkered out of wind, they draw with sticks in dirt a map to illustrate a story or show evidence for argument. They sketch out patterns right on dirt and doodle vague arithmetic, who never will take up a pen on page or slate or canvas. They will absent-mindedly make shapes and figures of their reveries and rub them out again, complete, to give their art no status of attention in the casual toss of discourse, open forum of community, out there on bare, familiar ground where generations have squatted, called it ownership. A poem by Robert Morgan, Squatting, from his collection Topsoil Road, published by Louisiana State University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, personalized brain training developed by neuroscientists to challenge memory and problem-solving through online games, Lumosity.com, and by TIAA Cref, a global financial company dedicated to delivering financial outcomes that matter. TIAA Cref,
created to serve, built to perform. Learn more at TIAA.org. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Join us Tuesday, October 6th for the season premiere concert of the KRNN Spotlight Series. Themed around dynamic duos, we'll hear performances from Aaron Hansen and Andrew Heist, Dara Relactos and Tom Loker, and Rebecca File and Annie Bartholomew. Doors open at 6:30 for the 7 o'clock show at the Goldtown Theater. Tickets and information at KRNN.org and the station. Again, that's KRNN's Dynamic Duos, October 6th at the Goldtown Theater.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, October 5th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host, and I've just been joined in the studio by fellow arts, culture, and music producer Annie Bartholomew, who's going to be playing tomorrow night as one of the dynamic duos. Welcome to the show, Annie.
Thanks, Scott.
So I'm super excited about tomorrow night.
I am too.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know about you, but I love the Goldtown Nick. It's one of the most intimate places to hear music, I think, in town.
That's how I hustled Rebecca to come down here from Fairbanks. I said, this is the perfect venue. People are going to be there. They're going to be quiet. They're going to listen, which is something you don't always find in Juno.
Yeah.
Especially with the artists who are going to be performing tonight. I mean, you can't find that in a bar usually, which is where a lot of musicians play.
Right.
So it's just going to be the artists, the musicians, and then conversation with the host, Rob Weber.
That's right, yeah. I'm sure he's going to have some thoughtful questions for all of you, but I know he wants to keep it focused on the music, from what I can tell as well. So, yeah, Tom Loker and Dara will get things going probably. I think you guys might play in the middle, you and Rebecca, and then Andrew Heist and Aaron Hansen. A nice diversity of music too, right?
Yes, lots of different styles and groups and voices you're going to be hearing tonight.
Yeah.
Or not tonight, tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm practicing tonight.
So tell me about you and Rebecca's band, Harm. You guys met up in Fairbanks, is that right?
Yeah, I've been going to college in Fairbanks the past 3 years, and Rebecca was in a really cool indie band called Feeding Frenzy. And then when that group disbanded, she decided to keep one of the pub dates available and started this other band, Harm. It's mostly women in the group, but there are some men in it, but it's a rotating cast of musicians, really focused on music that means something a little bit more than just your typical pop. We call it psych folk, which stands for psychedelic folk music. You kind of have to experience it, and we like to think of it as music that is thought-provoking. But yeah, I play guitar in it. Rebecca's the lead songwriter and instrumentalist, and you should hear her voice because she's been classically trained, but she's not afraid to stir things up and make them a little bit experimental.
We should listen to it. Here, I'll fire up this song right here. It's called A Child, A Separate Mouth.
Mm-hmm. It was co-written with our beatboxer, Heather Warren, and we played it at South by Southwest in March and toured the Pacific Northwest with it this fall.
Is this the kind of stuff we should expect tomorrow night?
Yes.
From you two?
The harmonium will be there.
Nice. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
What a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she's really special. She's one of my favorites. I play with her in a different band up there that's a blues rock band, and she plays bass in it, multi-instrumentalist, very cool. But this show is really special because we are just playing two instruments. We can only play one at a time. So we're having to make new arrangements for them, which has been a really fun process over the weekend.
Nice. Tell us also, you know, about Dara's music. I haven't had a chance to hear it yet. Tell us what you expect from her and Tom.
Yeah, I first discovered Dara at open mic at the Alaskan, you know, playing quietly over the chatter that was happening there. But she's really grown into an excellent songwriter, and I really love her voice. It's super raw, and I'm really excited to hear her accompanied by Tom. Because, I don't know, I really want to collaborate with her in the future. I think she's one of the strongest up-and-coming talent we've got here in town.
Sounds good. Yeah, and Tom, a fabulous piano player, right?
He's everywhere.
So that should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. And then Andrew Heist and Aaron Hansen, I'm sure a lot of people have heard them play here and there, either in the Cajun band or the bluegrass band or as duos. You know, stuff out of the bluegrass, country, singer-songwriter, folk songbook, really powerful, tight harmonies. Probably Aaron will be playing guitar, and probably Andrew will be playing mandolin.
Three lady guitarists.
Yeah. Yeah. We could, yeah. It's going to be a really fun night. Tickets are at krnn.org. These concerts have been known to sell out, so I would probably get online here pretty quick. I think Colette can squeeze 80 people into that theater with a shoehorn. So go to krnn.org, it starts at 7 o'clock. Doors will open at 6:30, and Alaska Music One's going to be doing sound for this one, Keith Giles and Company, and so it should be a lot of fun. If you get a chance on Tuesday night tomorrow, please come on out. Annie, what else should we talk about?
I'm just really excited for this event, the Gold Town. Really feels like one of the premier places you can play in Juneau, so you want to be in that audience.
Cool. Thanks for coming on the show, Annie. Everyone, we hope to see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Gold Town Theater for Dynamic Duos. And here's a little bit more of Annie and Rebecca for you. See you later.
Bird note. Listen carefully to the song of the Pacific Wren. What we hear as a blur of sound, the Pacific Wren hears as a precise sequence of sounds. That birds can hear so acutely the fine structure of song allows them to convey much information in a short sound. That's probably why, naturalist Rosemary Jealous writes, even the most extensive bird songs seem so brief to us. Let's listen again, but this time with the song slowed down to 1/4 speed. Pacific wrens may hear the song of other Pacific wrens this way, enabling them to imitate each other. The same would be true for winter wrens of the eastern states and Eurasian wrens. Whatever the species, they remind us that creatures we share the world with read and respond to nature in ways we sometimes cannot see or hear. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, offering HydroFit every Tuesday and Thursday from 6:30 p.m. until 7:30, Aqua Aerobics Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. until noon, and Stretch Aquatics Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45. Fall swim schedules are now available online at juno.org/park/pool. More information at 586-5325.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, October 5th, 2015. It's about 29 minutes until the top of the hour, and I've been joined in the studio now by Laura Damron. She's a social worker with Hospice and Home Care of Juno. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you.
And also Colleen Jones. She is a volunteer for Hospice and Home Care of Juno. Welcome to the show, Colleen.
Thanks a lot.
I think I said volunteer, but I think you wear a few hats.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for coming to the show. Maybe we could start with you, Laura, giving us a little sort of talk about Hospice and Home Care at Juno a bit.
Okay. We are the local home care agency and hospice agency, and part of our hospice mission, which is providing end-of-life care, but then we also follow families after the death of their loved one. And so we have bereavement support groups that we offer a couple times a year, as well as bereavement mailings and information and support to people in the community. And the bereavement support group that we're offering starting next week is open to anybody in the community who has had a loss due to death.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about the group. You're a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. How many folks are associated with it, would you say?
In coming to the group, do you mean?
Yeah, maybe that, and just the organization as a whole.
Oh. Well, if we count volunteers, we're probably at 20 to 30, mm-hmm. I would think, total. So our staff is in flux right now, a little smaller than it used to be, working on rebuilding some of the positions. But we have some really wonderful volunteers that we'd actually like to have more involved with our patients.
Okay. And if somebody wanted to contact you, if they're getting into a situation where they need services from hospice and home care, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is to call. Our number is 463-6111. And if they are wanting us to come in either for home care or for hospice care, they should get a referral from their doctor. But they can certainly call any time to ask questions about services. We do have physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists. So we offer a variety of services as well as the nursing and social work.
Okay. And among your services are these support group meetings. Mm-hmm. Colleen, you want to tell us a little bit about these?
Sure. So this we offer two bereavement support groups a year, and this one this fall starts next week, October 13th, and it goes through November 17th from 6:30 to 9, and it's 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks of just gathering together for folks that have, you know, lost a loved one. And I guess, what's the best way to describe it? It's just a collective way to get some group support, get some guidance, and just also have some creative ways to understand what you've gone through or what you're going through and explore those with a group. And a lot happens during that process, and it can be quite magical, but it can be also very fun. We laugh a lot. We cry. We share meals and snacks, and it's just a good way to explore that grieving process.
Okay. What's the sort of time range that you find folks benefit most from this? If they've lost somebody, what kind of time range do you see folks coming to these groups?
We like to have folks at least a few months out of the death. So not immediately after, because there's such numbness and kind of a cocoon around you initially, which is really important, but there are also so many details. So we like folks to be a little further out, but we've had people come in, you know, 20, 30 years post-death to join because they realize they've never quite dealt with the issues. And they were, I think, able to participate and benefit from being around other people who had gone through similar experiences. So.
Can you maybe give me an example or give us an example of something that's worked for someone particularly? I mean, you mentioned a lot of laughter, some people crying. I mean, it sounds like a lot's going on. What's one example of something that's worked in the past?
Wow. I wish we had a participant that that was here to speak to that. But, you know, I think one of the things that we've also that's helped is sharing even just pictures of their loved one, sharing their story. It just helps in speaking out loud with a group. And we bring those stories together and just sharing those memories, it brings them to the surface, but it also helps them. It just helps them. It just helps them, you know, not to, that it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to cry about it. It's okay to laugh about some of the silly things that they experienced or whatever. And not to, hide behind it anymore, to just be okay with it.
I was going to ask you how somebody can prepare for these groups, and it sounds like maybe bringing pictures or any other advice?
Well, we have homework.
We have a lot of homework,
yeah, actually.
Yeah, we do. We have activities to keep people, you know, to keep them moving forward in this process, kind of, and it just has some building blocks to go through those 6 weeks. So we definitely have some homework and for them to ponder and think about, a lot of journal writing and that kind of thing. So,
okay. Laura, can you give us the details once more, the time range?
Sure. So it starts next Tuesday, October 13th. We're going to be meeting from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Bridge Adult Day Program, which is on Glacier Highway. And we do request registration in advance so that we are set up and ready to, you know, meet the individual's needs. And so to register, either call me at 463-6111 or email me at Laura, L-A-U-R-A, Dameron, D-A-M-E-R-O-N, at ccsjuno.org. And then we also ask that people plan to come to all six sessions, if at all possible. If you know you're going to miss more than one session, it might be good to wait until the next time. Because it is a closed group, we grow and work together, and we, you know, the facilitators, which are Colleen, myself, and Melissa Engel, we're not, you know, we are not the healing property. It's the group. It's the support that we give each other and just that community. So we do ask people to be able to come to at least five of the sessions.
Okay. Laura Dameron of Hospice and Home Care of Juneau and Colleen Jones, thank you so much for coming in. If you are interested in participating, you should give Laura a call at 463-6111. Or Laura.Dameron, D-A-M-E-R-O-N, at ccs.juno.org.
ccsjuno. .org. And there is a donation requested, but it is definitely a sliding scale, and we don't want anybody to feel that they can't come because they can't afford that.
Good to know. Laura, Colleen, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Scott.
Your breath is sweet, your eyes are like two jewels in the sky. Your back is straight, your hair is smooth on the pillow where you lie. I don't sense affection, no gratitude or love. Your loyalty is not to me, but to the stars above. One more cup of coffee for you.
To a Juno afternoon here on Monday, October 5th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host, and joining me in the studio now is Ames Alf. She is a co-owner and chef out at Gonzo AK, which is out in Ock Bay. Welcome to the show, Ames.
Hey, thanks so much, Scott.
Yeah, you know, so I think this is the first time that you've been on the show, and I don't know much about Gonzo AK yet. Tell us about this new spot in Ock Bay.
Let's see. I guess the easiest thing would be artisan waffles. We take the simple Belgian waffle. We use yeasted waffles, and we create it into, I don't know. I can't even explain the creation. There's too much going on in the plate.
It used to be the Waffle House, right? Is that
what
it was called?
Yeah, it used to be Southeast Waffle Company.
Okay. So same location.
Same location. You walk in there and... There's color thrown at you. There's crazy food thrown at you. There's pastries left and right.
Coffee.
And, of course, coffee and espresso. Thank you, Sentinel.
So I heard the atmosphere is really nice, and I've heard that, you know, all kinds of folks are hanging out in there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, the group that we saw when we were first starting out compared to over the summer to right now has been a plethora of different individuals, for sure. And it's been really rad to see, you know, locals come in, but also random people I've never seen in Juneau, which is weird.
And how long have you been open now?
Officially, we've been open since the beginning of February. Yeah.
All right. Well, I have to come out and have some espresso with you. It sounds
yes,
like
please.
Fun.
You should come out on Wednesday.
All right. Yeah, right?
Yes.
So tell us how you got involved with this. It's an incentive to vote, basically, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Mark Wheeler, the co-owner of COPA, came at my husband and I, and also Travis Smith from the Rookery, and came up with the idea that for the elections, we would get the percentage of the votes, and on Wednesday, whatever that may be, percentage-wise, they get a discount on espresso drinks, on us, on any three places in Juneau. So you could go to all three.
And just have a lot of coffee.
Exactly.
On Wednesday.
Yeah, have a lot of coffee and be super stoked and proud of yourself for voting.
And so it's important to you as an organization that people get out for the municipal vote, it sounds like.
Yes. It's an important election because the mayor's race is on the ballot, and Juneau's facing some economic challenges in the future. And the outcome of this election affects our everyday lives, but more importantly, it affects the future generation of Juneauites.
Absolutely. And just to give a quick K2 plug, write it on our homepage, listeners, if you go to ktoo.org. Our news department has been putting together this amazing elections information page. You can click on each candidate and read their profile. You can click on issues and see how each individual candidate has answered those issue questions. Just, again, go to ktoo.org and click on the top. It'll say elections 2015, and it'll let you know anything that you need to know about tomorrow's voting, including where to vote, how, all that stuff, ktoo.org. And then, yes.
I want to throw in there, so if you hashtag #CoffeeTheVoteJuno around, you know, this time, everybody will be able to see how everybody else has been doing as far as coffee, and it'll just be cool to see all the people that end up, you know, going out there and getting their espresso drinks.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get in a very high. Well, you must be a little bit mixed, right? Like, what if 90% of people showed up
you
to
know,
vote?
You know, I'd be super excited. I'd give them high fives. I'd throw waffles everywhere. Like, that would be awesome if Juno did that. They should do that, in fact.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. The hashtag is #CoffeeTheVoteJuno. Get out and vote tomorrow. Every extra person that gets out to vote will help raise that discount for coffee on Wednesday. Everyone's just going to be happy.
I hope so.
Thank you for coming on the show, Ames Alf. She's one of the co-owners of Gonzo AK, a chef out there. Go see them out in the Bay. Anything else you'd like to add, Ames?
I think I'm good. Well, maybe a big shout out to COPA and the Rookery for also participating, and for all the Junoites to know that there's three coffee shops in Juneau that want you to have espresso. Go vote.
Thanks, Ames.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, October 5th, 2015. It's about 9 minutes till the top of the hour. Scott Burton, your host. And joining me now in the studio is Crystal Borland. She is the director of NAMI here in Juno. Welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thanks, Scott.
And also Sandy Palke. She is a board member and race director of this Saturday's Extra Tough 5K Walk Run. Sounds like a lot of fun. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah. Crystal, if folks don't know about NAMI, will you give us a little synopsis?
Sure. So NAMI stands for National Alliance on Mental Illness. Our local affiliate is called NAMI Juno, and we're one of about 1,000 affiliates across the nation. Locally, we're mainly doing peer support education programs for individuals that are living with mental illness as well as their family members. We provide public awareness, outreach, advocacy work at the local and state level. But all across the nation, we're doing a lot of public policy, research, and of course, a lot of education out there for all things mental illness.
Okay, and this is National Mental Illness Awareness Week, is that right?
You got it. It's kind of a tongue twister, huh? National Mental Illness Awareness Week is the first full week of October every single year, and it's just a really good time for us to come together and educate ourselves and our communities because, let's face it, we're all affected by mental illness.
Absolutely, and I may have asked you this before, Crystal, but can you help us understand what are some of the mental illnesses we see most in the community?
Right. Well, just in general, what we see in the States, we see depression and generalized anxiety disorder as kind of the most common types of mental illness, also bipolar disorder, and then more serious forms, you know, schizophrenia, but definitely different types of anxiety disorders like post-traumatic stress disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder are the most common types of mental illness.
Okay. This run is coming up on Saturday. Sandy, you're the race director. How did this, was this race inspired?
So we started this. This is our actual second annual. We started last year. And we were just looking for, NAMI is a nonprofit, and we were looking for a fun event that would get people out. And one of the things we know is that exercise and getting outdoors is really important for all of us, but especially if you're living with a mental illness. So we thought this would be a fun combination, and we particularly loved the idea of the play on words with extra tough, because it is extra tough when you are living with a mental illness or are a caregiver or a loved one of somebody living with mental illness.
Okay. Crystal, where is NAMI located?
Yeah, we're located out in the valley at the Jordan Square building, but a lot of our education and support programs that we offer for free in the community are in different areas where we have more room. So Bartlett, we get to use them a lot. Even KTO is offering a space for one of our upcoming classes called Peer to Peer starting next Monday. So we're in multiple places.
Tell us a little bit more about Peer to Peer, or just exemplify one of those programs if you would.
Sure. Well, peer-to-peer, you had me on and we talked about it at one point, but we've rescheduled it. So it's actually starting next Monday, October 12th. And this is a free education class for anyone experiencing a mental health condition to really learn more about mental illness, to learn about different treatment options, to find some support in our community with the members, you know, that are going to be in that class. It's very confidential, and it's led by peers, which means it's led by individuals that have lived experience that also have a mental health condition and have been trained to facilitate this course. It runs for 10 weeks, and if anyone wants to register or just ask questions, they can call us or they can look on the website at namijuno.org.
Okay, and to support programs like this, you can participate in the Extra Tough Walk or Run this Saturday. Sandy, will you give us the details once more, please?
Sure. The race is Saturday at 10. Registration starts at 9 o'clock. There is pre-registered. You can register on our website, or you can register at any of the normal Southeast Roadrunners race places, including the clubs. It's $20 for early registration, $10 for 18 and under, and $10 if you're a NAMI member. It is $25 the day of, and then if you we also are more than welcome if you would like to donate extra money. It is a Southeast Roadrunner part of the Empire Cup series, so you will get points for Empire Cup. It's at Riverbend. We'll meet at the covered play area. And it is the same 5K course as the breast cancer walk run. So we hope you'll all come out and support NAMI and have some fun doing it.
And if you are running, you don't have to wear your extra top. But that could be a little challenging. I'll wear them for the walk.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Crystal Borland and Sandy Palke. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, we just hope to see everyone on Saturday for a really fun run. And thanks for supporting us.
Great. Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into a Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow on the show, we'll get an update on library activities with guest Beth Weigel. And we'll learn about the Family Promise Interfaith Hospitality Network. We'll talk with Tom Brennan about his new book, Dead Man's Dancer. And we'll also talk with Sarah Radke Brown and Jackie Triplett about the Empty Chairs Project. Those interviews, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more live at 3 on KTOO News. Repeated at 4 on KRNN and online via KTOO.org. Currently, it is 54 degrees at the Juneau Airport. Tonight, mostly clear, patchy fog in the evening, then patchy, dense fog, a possible late. Lows 31 to 37. Tuesday, increasing clouds, highs around 52. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, highs around 52. Wednesday night, cloudy, chance of rain, lows around 44.